Houston, Chris on two for Yet Aves.
Chris, go ahead, on two.
Hey, good morning. I was just going to collect some of the Yet Aves for my Yet Ave to RST transfer. And I found Yet Ave 1316. However, it seems to be inside hefty bags and labeled has two Yet Ave 1316. And that just gave me a little bit of pause. And I just wanted to double check if that's expected, if we're expecting there to be a has two issue with it, or if you guys knew anything about that.
We are checking. A bit of pause seems appropriate. I'll let you know what we find out.
Happy all. Yeah, the second Yet Ave transfer, 1454, looked just like a normal Yet Ave. They were both in the same bag, but one of them was just there as a Yet Ave. The other one seemed to be at least in one hefty bag, if not triple bagged, and had has two scrolled on it.
We copy. Thanks for letting us know. We'll get you an answer.
Thanks.
Huntsville Station on two for MEF.
Jessica, Huntsville's with you on two for MEF.
We're just checking in if we are on space ground 3 or 4 this morning.
Copy. You'll be on space to ground 3, and I go ahead and give you the go for 1.1. Shankini is standing by for your call.
Hey, copy the go for 1.1, and I will talk to Shankini on space to ground 3. Thank you, John.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris, at your convenience with the Yet Ave answer.
Chris is with the answer.
All right, Chris. Yet Ave 1316 does not have any has two concerns. It was accidentally double bagged when it was last used. That was by Kimia earlier in the year, but we did confirm that nothing off nominal happened during that transfer. We expect it to help the Yet Ave with no has two concerns.
Okay, copy all. So I will take it out of its double bag and not expect anything. But, yeah, I appreciate you guys double-checking on that. So, that should be perfect. Thank you.
Thanks for checking with us.
Huntsville Station, good morning. Jackson 2, you're welcome aboard Labcam 2 for ads.
Good morning, Jack. Huntsville's with you on 2, and we like the view. Thank you.
Huntsville Station, Jackson 2 for ADSEP. Looks like we got 01 through 04 in slots Alpha through Delta in the ADSEP.
And those are good numbers, Jack. Thanks. 01 through 04.
This is Jack Silf. Anybody got 3 up? Hey. Hi, good morning. What happened when I put my arms in? Yeah. So anyway, I've already replaced it, but now we have a 22 minute LOS, so.
Space to ground 2.
Gotcha, Shankini. I got Chris to come in here with me. We're going to turn on AirCirc. Are you guys able to, I don't think you're able without KU to see if it's a good seal, are you?
You are correct.
Okay. Let's see if I can seal it. Chris is going to turn it on. He turned it on. This medium is just a lot looser than the other medium. And I can feel air coming out. Let's see if let up more.
Copy that. And we have in the past long sleeves or the workout sweatband has helped with that if it is a little looser of a sleeve.
Thank you. Actually, it's tight. It's kind of like the other ones. You know, it's like loose on the bottom, but I think it is tight. And it feels very tight. It's actually sealed now. At first, before I pushed in more, I could feel air coming out. You don't feel any air coming out, do you? Outside is the same. That's the tight one. If I move around.
And Jessica, are you sure you weren't using smalls?
Yep. I mean, I am sure. I mean, I checked the labels. They told me I was using smalls, and I never switched them to copy.
Got it.
Oh, wait, you're right. No, you're right. It was vice versa. It was mediums that were too big, and it was smalls that I was using. So let's get another small. You can turn off. I mean, this one does still feel. It's actually more comfortable, but. Okay. We'll grab another small and see. I think that will probably be a better seal. But I guess then the question is, can you fit small?
And I didn't copy the question at the end.
Yeah, I had it. I had it reversed because they had originally told me I was a medium, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm a small, and I tried them on. So, yeah, you're right. It is going to be another small, and I know exactly where that one is, so I'll change that out. And then ready for after the LOS.
Copy that, and I think I will leave you here on Space to Ground 2 in a minute and a half.
Okay, yeah, I'll have these guys help me with air clerk, and I'll get all set up, so we'll be ready at 8:20, was it 8:22 or 8:24?
8:24, and we did get to talk on the deuce.
Talking on the deuce, Shank, all right. Okay, I will wipe this one down.
Gotta love the deuce.
That is great. And Jessica, if you can report serial numbers of the torn sleeve and the new one, that would be great.
Sure, yeah. This is a brand new small that's never been used, so the end needs to be first. I can see if there's one that's been used first.
And also for the medium, if you can wipe it with water, since we had fanny cloth on it, that would be great.
Sure. Top of that one, but we might have to cut that. We'll see what else is in here. Large, large, small. Yeah. Has the gloves. It's not hot. I think we're going to have to do the cutting.
I'm still station Jackson on 2 for AdSet.
With you on 2, Jack. Got about 55 seconds to come.
Right. I got 4 new AdSet pill cassettes. They're alphanumeric November 1 through November 4, and serial numbers 32331 through 34. And those are installed in Alpha through Delta on the headset.
And real quick on 2 before we lose comm, do you guys have any notes about cutting the LSG sleeves? We've got a new LSG sleeve that we need to cut. This is a glove one.
And Jessica, this is John with you on 2. You should not have to cut the sleeves.
Have another small that it doesn't have the built-in gloves. You know, we have the kind that has the gloves on it, and then we have the kind that has the hole, and we wear other gloves. I'll look again, but I didn't see another small that did not have gloves. I'm looking in 1.05109. I'm not sure if there's another location. I've been looking in IMS gloves.
We might have more sleeves at JLP1 aft Delta.
And is there a CTB? Aft 1 Delta.
Affirm, that's
Aft 1 Delta.
4077, 2.0 CTV.
4077, okay, we'll look there.
And Jack Huntsel's back with you on 2. Those are good numbers.
Copy.
I mean, I think I was getting a feel from the medium, if that ends up working.
Station Huntsel on Space Ground 2 for Jack and LSG. We are ready for your first MEF-1 assist activity.
Houston, Chris on 2 for Yedeve transfer.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, just a quick question. I see in my stow note I'm supposed to get this Tubbs adapter, serial number 1001. This was one that we grabbed from the PMM, and it looks like it's a new one. When I was unstoring the other items from bag 1036, I noticed there was also a Tubbs adapter in here that was marked for Brian only, and I just wanted to make sure that we are indeed using 1001. It makes sense, but I guess we're just creating another Brian Tubbs adapter. Is that what we're doing?
We are checking. Station Houston on 2 for Chris with an answer.
This is okay, too.
All right, Chris, so our records showed that 1001, serial number 1001, was the one labeled as brine, so we were not trying to create a new one. What was the serial number of the one that you found labeled for brine?
It looks like in bag 1.0-1036, there is a serial number 1002 of a Tubbs adapter that is labeled for brine only.
Is there any label on the serial number 1001?
Negative 1001. I haven't opened the white bag or anything or taken a look, but it looks pretty not super used. And this was one that for the task list, like, last weekend. I pulled out of the PMM.
Chris, we copy. Give us just a couple more minutes. Big picture, we're just trying to make sure that we don't end up with both of them being for Brian and then not have the ability to use the other one for other substances. So give us just another minute or two to read through notes.
Yeah, absolutely. That was why I called you, because I was like, something doesn't quite seem maybe 100%. One other piece of data, the Tubbs FFQD adapter 1002 that I found in 1.0-1036 says Brian only, GMT 2019/247 on it.
We copy. Thanks for that info. We're taking a look.
And Chris on two. I've also put up the Nerd 3 camcorder. If you want to wrap that and take a look, you are more than welcome if it's helpful.
Chris, we appreciate it. I don't think the views are going to help us here because I think we understand the config. We're just looking at the history of both serial numbers 1001 and 1002, and we hope to get you an answer shortly.
Sounds good.
Station Houston on two for Chris.
Sounds good.
Chris, thanks for your patience. Looking back at the last time we did this activity, we used 1002 for Brian, so it aligns with your labeling. We think our IMS notes are probably just wrong. So with that, you are going to use 1002 Tubbs adapter, and we really appreciate you checking with us so we didn't get anything contaminated here.
Absolutely, yeah. Glad I checked. So I will use 1002. I'll leave 1001 stowed back in that 1.01036, but... yeah, if I recall, I grabbed it from a task activity somewhere in the PMM this past weekend, or maybe end of last week. And so we should would probably make sense to put that back out of the way so we don't accidentally grab it at some point. But thank you for checking and doing the legwork on making sure we're doing the right thing here. Appreciate it.
Yep, Concur, you grabbed it 5 days ago, in case you need the specifics. We will track a forward plan as an upcoming item, but for now, Concur, you can leave it in the serial number 1036 CTB.
Copy all, and while I have you, I've got Brian Yedeve 1316 and resupply tank 00024, which has a barcode 0026065 Mike, and those are what I'm going to be using for the transfer.
We like all the serial numbers and barcodes. You go to continue.
Houston, Chris on two for Brian transfer.
Go ahead on two.
Okay, I've got Yedeve 1316 with the urine red urine transfer compressor hose attached to its Pagace de Vlenia. I've then got this connected through a series of adapters, including Tubbs adapter 1002 to water resupply tank 0024, which has been labeled for brine. So we are configured for drain to RST, and you are go to proceed with the commanded drain, and then the filling level indicator port is capped on 1316, and I have a good tug test on all connectors.
Chris, that config sounds good. We will proceed with the drain. Thank you very much.
No problem. And I'll hand this over to the next people that will be touching this, but everything is configured in the stall.
Chris, good news. The next person to touch it is you, so your handover should be quite easy.
Fantastic. Well, consider it handed over then.
Station, I'm still on Space to Ground 2 for any available USOS crew and assistance with LSG.
Go, Palaszczuk.
I believe I'm talking to Chris, but I can't quite tell. Chris or Jack, we are ready for the next NEF1 fix assist activity at 0945 on Jack's timeline.
All right, it's Jack, and it's in work.
Copy. Thank you, Jack. I couldn't tell on that first call. And, Jack, while I have you on Space to Ground 2, just a general reminder, please don safety goggles when you're inserting the new items into LSG.
Copy. And you can just count the words. If it's less than five, it's me. And if it's more than five, it's Chris.
Jessica agreeing with you on Space to Ground 3, but copy. Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jack and LSG.
Jack on 2 for LSG.
Jack, we are ready for your next three Blue Assist activities, the 1015, 1035, and 1055 activities, with the caveat that we need 30 minutes between the Sable 4 insert and the 1015 activity and the move to the Kermit insert at the 1055 activity. How copy?
Checking. I'm Shuttle Station Jackson 2, so I copy. I've got to go for the next three blue activities, but there needs to be a 30-minute gap between the second and the third. Is that right?
That's a negative, Jack. It's 30 minutes between the first and third. So you'll insert the cassette into Sable 4 and then turn on the Kermit hardware. And then after the sample has been in Sable 4 for a minimum 30 minutes, you can then insert it into Kermit.
All right. Go for the next three blue and a half hour between the end of event one and the start of the end of the first activity and the start of the third activity.
That's a good readback. And for your awareness, we do have a current item within the Kermit hardware. It's going to be a fixative D. You can pull that out of Kermit and Timstow it. We'll have you put that back in at your later activity to reconfigure Kermit at 1905.
All right, I'll Timstow fixative D near Kermit, and we'll put it back in tonight. Thanks. Houston, Chris on to for Yedeve to RST transfer.
Chris, the transfer of Yedeve 1316 is complete. You are go in step 2, decimal 1, decimal 2.
Copy. Go in at 2, decimal 1, decimal 2. Houston, Chris on 2 for 2, decimal 1, decimal 3.
Houston's with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, this Yedeve, it feels mostly empty, but it doesn't feel entirely empty. Just wanted to check in with you on that.
That is good info. We were expecting it to be empty, so if you can stand by and leave it installed, we will attempt a few more minutes of drain time and see if we can get it to empty.
Copy all, yeah. I mean, it's definitely had a fair bit of liquid taken out of it, but when you shake it, you still feel a little bit of kind of like a residual slosh when you shake it.
Okay, good data. We'll try another empty here, and I'll give you a call back shortly when we're ready for you to check again.
Copy all. Thank you.
Station on 2 for Jack. I think he see you manipulating the camera in the lab. Jessica's ready for you at LSG whenever you get a moment.
Still station checks on 2. The imaging cassette was inserted into table 4 at GMT 0949.
Copy, Jack. Thanks for the report. Your bingo time for the 1055 activity is now 1019.
1019, thanks.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and Yedeve.
Chris for Yedeve.
Chris, we have attempted another drain on that Yedeve. If you're willing to give it another shake, let us know if it feels empty.
Okay, copy. I will do that in a minute.
I'm Cell Station from Jack. You're welcome aboard Lab Camp 2 for Kermit.
With you on 2, Jack.
Copy, Lab Cam 2 is available for Kermit.
Huntsville copies, getting it routed. Thanks.
Your next station is Sophie on 2 for digital.
Good morning, Sophie. We are with you on 2.
Good morning, you and the next team. I was wondering if I can start earlier the digital activity.
For sure, everything is prepared and you are go to step into the activity.
Okay, so I understand also go for step 1, decimal 4, decimal 1.
Houston, Chris on 2 for Yedeve. Yeah, that does feel a little bit better. It feels empty now.
Okay, that's fantastic news. With that, you are going to continue with your swap to 1454.
Copy. Go to continue with swap for 1454. I've got 1454 Brian Yedeve and going into the same 24 RST.
We concur, thanks.
Munich from Sophie on 2 for digital.
Sophie, go ahead.
Yes, I was looking for a go in step 1, decimal 4, decimal 1.
Sorry for that, I thought that went up. Yes, you are go.
I'm still stationing Jackson 2 for Kermit Power Up.
see you on 2, Jack.
But I got DLC-6 powered up and the software running, so you guys are good for ground commanding. And interrogative, you want me to remove fixture D with sample plate 1 holder and tempo it? That's the thing that you wanted me to take out of here that you mentioned earlier, is that right?
And that's a firm, I think I told you, fixative B earlier, but yeah, it's fixture D.
Okay, and that's just two visible thumb screws, or is it just tension held in there?
It is the two visible thumb screws. Copy, okay.
Houston, Chris on 2 for Yedeve. 1454 is connected. Good pull test on the Hydra connector to air 3. Red urine transfer compressor cable is attached to Pedaccio de Blenya. Filling level indicator is capped. Good to transfer.
We copy. That's a good config. We will start the transfer. Thanks, Chris.
No problem. Thank you, guys. So, station Jackson 2 for Kermit power up stowage note, line 4.
And we're with you on 2, Jack.
Hunt for this sample holder custom in CTD 5478, and I can't seem to find it immediately. Is it, do you think it's in a different Ziploc, or potentially could be somewhere else?
Copy, looking for sample holder custom. We are checking on that for you. 1 second.
Next station, Sophie and 2 for Fugitool.
Sophie, go ahead.
I just wanted to give you a report of what I see on the Fugitool box. So, I can say that the first message is programming internal memory done, verification of internal memory success. And then after, right now, the process is doing programming external memory. And it seems to be stuck at 27%, so maybe I'll give it 5 more minutes. But it's been at 27% for quite a while. So just wanted to give you a heads up, and I'll be back in 5 minutes to give you the new progress bar.
Thanks a lot. We are checking here on ground, but it should be nominal because the overall process takes about 10 minutes. So for now, we are still confident. Nevertheless, thanks for checking.
Station Dunsmore, Space to Ground 2 for Chris. I have an alternate location on the custom plate holder once you get done inserting items into LSG. Apologies, not Jack, Chris.
All for me.
A-Firm was calling for Jack. I have an alternate location on the plate holder, JLP 1, 4, 2, Delta 2, Echo 2, Foxtrot 2 locations, and a 1.0 CTV, serial number 5306. I'll copy.
Apologies. I think that was for Jack, not Chris. Let me, I can check and see where he's at, but I think he'll give you a call back.
A-Firm, Chris, it was for Jack. My apologies.
No worries.
So, station
2
for NMS laptop.
Consoles with you on 2, Sophie.
Yeah, so I was just trying to read a little bit ahead of the game for this procedure that I have for the Giga B adapter to the NMS laptop. I see on this laptop 2 Giga E adapters. One is connected to the back right USB port, and one is connected to the front right USB port. I see none connected to the front left USB port. So I was just going to ask which one is the one I'm supposed to replace.
And Sophie, this is Houston. That activity at 11:35 is actually ours. I copy your question. Give me just a minute to look into it.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, I don't know why. I thought it was central, but thank you. Yeah, I know I'm ahead of the timeline, but it was just a preparation question. No rush on the answer.
Yep, we appreciate you looking ahead. I'll let you know when I have an answer. Thanks.
Thank you.
Station Huntsville 2 for Jack and Kermit.
Station, Jack is with you. Go ahead.
Got two things for you. First, I'm not sure if you copied the alt location on the custom plate hold. Can you confirm you got that location from Chris? I flubbed my call and accidentally called for him instead of you. My apologies.
No worries. I missed it, and he's on the other end of the station, so I'll take it now if you can.
Absolutely. That was my understanding as well. I have that alternate location. It's JLP-1, port 2, Delta 2, Echo 2, Foxtrot 2 location in a 1.0 CTV serial number 5306. I'll copy.
All right, JLP port 1, Delta Echo Foxtrot 2 in a 1.05306.
Port 1, port 2, Delta 2, Echo 2, Foxtrot 2. So in that general location, CTV number is correct. And then I do have one more item on the ELC6 that you connected to Kermit there. It appears that we're logged into a pro login for that, so the PD can't access it. Can you just confirm through the confidential crew note, crew message in your execution note that you logged in for the instructions there, please?
Yeah, that's on me. There, in the execute note, there's a local pro username and a looks like a Kermit username as well. I will log out of the local pro, log in with the Kermit, and reopen those apps for you, and find the sample thing in the location you gave me. And just so we're on the same page here, I'm going to finish up this Kermit hardware power up, which is finding the sample holder custom, and then I'm going right into cassette MEF1 cassette insert with 1055 timeline event. Is that what you're tracking? I'm just trying to keep track of all these different microactivities.
And Jack, that's a good understanding. Apologies, you've got you running all over your timeline today, but we appreciate all your help.
Yeah, no worries. Just trying to keep it straight. And then right for Houston from Jack, I've got the regen line going on right now. So I'm in the middle of Kermit. Is that? I know I've been hearing Chris has been doing some troubleshooting as well. So is that running on time or is that time flexible?
Jack, we're pretty flexible on that time. So you're welcome to knock out your current activity plus your 1055 activity and then circle back to us.
Okay, perfect. That will be the plan. Thanks very much.
Munich Station, Sophie on 2 for vehicles.
Sophie, go ahead.
It is still 27%, and I think more than 5 minutes passed, and I do not see any progress bar more than 27%. Just as a heads up.
And Sophie, we copied. We are checking. Thanks for letting us know.
You're welcome.
Station Munich on 2 for Sophie and Physiotool.
Radio on 2.
Yes, Sophie, we would still like to give it 5 more minutes. If then there is no progress, then we will do a power cycling of the Physiotool box, so of the neurosensorical box.
Sure. Okay, I will let you track those 5 minutes and call me back. And meanwhile, I'm just going to preparing for the future activities. And just as a heads up as well, the one that is just after turning off cobalt break 1442 and on 1339, it has to be timely with a physiotune, right? It has to be after physiotune, if I understand well.
And Sophie, that is correct. This can only be done afterwards.
Okay, thank you. Eastern Station, Sophie, on 2 for ELEVE 2 resupply tank regen activity.
Sophie, go ahead on 2.
Yeah, just coordinated with Jack, who's assisting Jessica right now, so I was going to take this 10-minute regen ELEVE 2 resupply tank terminate activity, if it's okay for you. And then I'm just waiting for your go on 2.1.2.2.
Sophie, we appreciate the help. You are go in 2.1.2. I do have one additional step we'd like when you get to 3.7. I'm happy to give it to you now, or you can call me when you get there.
Please go ahead for 3.7.
Okay. There's one additional connector that we need you to remove You can reference figure 2. We'll need you to disconnect the Tubbs adapter from the resupply tank brine adapter. That's the circle that's the items that are circled in green. Sophie, minus 1 point for my Capcom skills today. I talked you into an LOS. I apologize for that. In 3.7, the additional item we need disconnected is the connection circled in green in figure 2, the Tubbs adapter to the resupply tank brine adapter. You can disconnect that as well when you get to 3.7.
3.7, figure 2, disconnecting the green, the circle green Tubbs adapter to resupply tank brine adapter.
Good words. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Station Huntsville on 2 for Jack. We see you found that custom sample holder. We've got about 11 minutes left, the 30-minute bingo time I gave you earlier. It's a 30-minute minimum, 60-minute maximum. So once you get the ELC6 reconfigured, we'll be good to go. Thank you. Copy, thumbs up.
Huntsville Station, Jack on 2 for...
Correct. Jack, Huntsville's with you on 2. Go ahead.
I logged out of local pro, logged back into Kermit on ELC6. Software is running, so your go for commanding.
Thank you much. We'll take back over from here.
Station Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for Jack. And your next MEF fixed activity, assist activity at 1425. You're going step 1 whenever you're ready. And Jack Huntsville's back with you. Sorry, that was the 1055 activity. I'm looking ahead still.
So station, Jack copies. I'm going step 1 of the 1055 activity.
Good read back, Jack. Thanks for keeping me honest.
Today's been a crazy morning trying to keep up with Jessica, just bouncing around between all the things.
Yeah, you aren't kidding. Both of you guys are superstars, though. We definitely appreciate all the hard work you're doing.
So station, Jack on 2, your go for imagery and current.
And Jack, we copy, and here in just a minute or two, we're going to be ready, and I can confirm this time I'm correct, for your 1425 fixative assist activity.
Okay, copy, am I hanging around Kermit to put take this sample out, or should I go do the 1425 assist and then come back to Kermit?
Negative, no need to wait around at Kermit.
Okay, copy, I will put the 1425 assist in work.
This is the station CFM 2 for a question about a resupply tank.
Go ahead on to Sophie.
So, step 3.8 has me triple bag this resupply tank, but also makes a note of that we are going to be using this in a couple hours. And so we discussed it here on board, and we think that it really doesn't make sense to triple bag it right now. It's capped. I mean, there's nothing that's going to go out of this resupply tank. So just wanted to be sure that you wanted me to triple bag and spend my 5-10 minutes to do that, and then the next crew member is going to be spending 5-10 minutes to undo this thing in a couple hours.
Excellent question, Sophie. Give us 1 second to discuss.
Okay.
Sophie, back with you on 2. We agree with you. It's actually only about an hour. Chris will use this in his 11:45 activity. As long as you don't see any concerns, we're okay with you not triple bagging this resupply tank. You can just leave it out, and Chris will use it in about an hour.
Oh my god, I love the sensor. Thank you so much. Thank you, and I will leave this, and I promise absolutely no concern in here.
Sounds good. Appreciate the suggestion.
Station, station. Sophie and two for our region.
We're with you on 2, Sophie.
3.13, that's task complete.
Fantastic. We appreciate it. While I have you, the answer to your GigaStore question is we expect you're replacing the one that's in the back right port. Sorry about that. There was some config changes when this was last touched a month ago that we didn't capture in our procedure.
Okay, no worries. Thanks for the words and the back top. I understand the back top. So back right Ethernet adapter.
That's a good copy. Thank you.
Thanks to you. Munich Station, Sophie on 2 for Fugitive.
Sophie, we are back with you on tour, and we've seen you grade out the first activity. Was this for success or just for going through the timeline?
So, yeah, it's just wanted to report that it is still stuck at 27%.
That's okay. That's then unfortunate, so we will do a power cycling. So going back to step 2.8, so switching off the neurosensorial box and then switch it on again, and this should restart the bootloader.
Okay, off and on again.
And, of course, afterwards we have again about 10 minutes for completion of the activity if it runs smooth this time.
Copy. Station 2 for... And I missed that again. Another question.
Go ahead on to Sophie.
When I will be replacing this, do you want me to put it back on the back right part, or the new one, or do you want me to put it on the front left?
Good question. I should have clarified that. You can put it in the back right. So replace it, the back right existing one with a new one, but keep it in that back right port.
Copy, and am I going to do the procedure right now?
You are. No issue doing it a bit early.
Great. Thank you.
So, station Jackson 2, do I need to do step 7.6 of my 1055 activity, removing the sample cassette from Kermit?
Check it. And Jack Hunsel's back with you on 2. We're not ready for that imaging cassette to come out of Kermit just quite yet. We're going to be repeating essentially what you've done already with the new 2 bile cells that Jessica's currently working on. When we're ready to insert those into Sable, we'll let you know to pull the current imaging cassette from Kermit, and then we restart the whole 30-minute clock.
Okay, copy that. You send station checks on 2 for timelines.
Jack, Houston's with you on 2. Go ahead.
Understand, Jessica's going to take a small break and then get back in the LSG to finish off the last 2. So I don't necessarily need it now, but looking for some overall words on who's going to take her activities or if they're going to slide to the right, and if you see any other changes to our timeline today.
Yeah, Jack, big picture. Obviously, Jessica's crushing it in LSG. We're going to let her do that. Depending on what time she finishes, she may or may not do the rhodium activity before lunch. And then based on that, we'll figure out exactly what slides where, but expect at least veggie to slide up to Chris, perhaps also rhodium. And then we're open to ideas on the WHC pre-treat tank R&R, if it makes sense to have either Chris or Sophie do that in their previously blue time, which Jessica has knocked out.
Okay, so I understand that we're planning on sliding the veggie plant from Jessica's line to Chris's line. I think she's still got 2.5 cells to go, so I don't see how she could do the rhodium before lunch. And I understand that she's going to take a break before doing the afternoon activities, so I think that plant photo has to go somewhere else. And then, happy to wait to see how the afternoon develops for the WHC.
That all sounds good, and yeah, it's certainly no issue on our end to move the rhodium also up to Chris's afternoon in blue space. So I think we're gonna have plenty of time this afternoon with Chris and Sophie and I guess some of your little blocks being done already, and we'll use those times to put the rest of Jessica's activities where they need to be.
Okay, that all makes sense to me. So we're going to kind of treat the 3, the rhodium, the veg, and the WHC that's on Jessica's line as tank activities, and we'll just do them this afternoon when time presents.
Jack, they're not quite flexible enough to be pink. For example, rhodium has some time constraints that make us want to do it earlier in the afternoon. So they are pink enough that we can slide them to the afternoon, but they're not fully flexible. So. We'll get a good, clear story on it, and we'll get you our recommendation of when to do what. But big picture, you're correct. We're going to end up with those in the afternoon with not the exact timing that they are at now, obviously.
Okay, that makes sense to us, and we'll stand by for a more specific plan. Thanks.
No problem, and thanks for all the flexibility today.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jack. We are ready for your 1455 assist activity.
1455 assist activity in work. Thanks.
Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie and status on the Physio 2 update.
Sophie's with you on 2 and I see that it worked. So I'll proceed to the next procedure.
That's very good news. Thanks a lot. And yes, you're right. You can continue with the next procedure and then also afterwards doing the cobalt break switch.
Copy.
Huntsville Station Jack on 2 imaging cassette. Serum number 2 inserted into sable number 4, GMT 1119.
GMT 1119. Copy. Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jack in assistance with Kermit.
Huntsville 2 for Kermit.
Jack, it seems like we're having some issues with imagery in Kermit. Wondering if you could help us out real quick to verify the filter.
Yeah, stand by for some words.
Okay, so first we're going to need you to put on some nitrile gloves, and it does say that you might potentially need a headlamp for this, just in case it's hard to see inside the microscope there. Okay, Jack Huntsville's back with you. So we'll have you open the microscope top panel there and then verify that the filter cube is a CY5 identification. You see in the front panel as well?
I guess I'm not 100% sure of the nomenclature here, and I open what I think is the top panel. You know, I just see the sample holder custom with the sheet that I put in before. I dealt with the filter before I opened this front one, and I see the letters CH-1 and the letters DAPI and a blue square on the front. Oh, wait, I see it now. It says DAPI EX360/40, and then there's a DM and a PA numbers.
Copy. Stay hands off there for just a moment. They're going to rotate the filter so you can see the third one.
Okay, I'm just looking. All right, now it's channel 2. It's a green square, and it says GFP. And then to the left, this one, the one that hasn't rotated off, I see a red square that says CY5.
Copy, Jack. Stay hands off for just a second. CY5 is the one we're looking for. They're going to rotate it so that you get better access, and they want to verify that it's seated properly.
Right. I see channel 3 and CY5 with the red square, and let me know when I have a go to jiggle it. Make sure it's in there right.
And, Jack, you're going to give it a little wiggle.
Right. A little wiggle. It seems seated in there. There's a little bit of... just a small amount of pitch rotation when I can touch when I just gently touch it. I pulled it out and reseated it. Let me know if there's something specific I can look for to make sure that it's locked and seated, or if you want a video tour, or what else can I check here?
That's all at the moment. Stay hands off. They're going to rotate, check that position, and then we'll get back with you.
Yeah, and as I look straight in at that filter, the filter generally kind of looks red, but there were some kind of green specks on the surface. I can't see it anymore now that we're rotated.
Copy, green specks. They're checking it out now. Jack, sounds like we're good. You can go ahead and close the front panel. Thank you.
All right, copy.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jack. We are ready for your 1535 assist activity.
Houston Station to CEM 2 for backup PDV and
out. Sophie, Houston's with you. There is no urine transfer in progress. You are go in step 3.1.
There you go in step 3.1. And the well serial number of the new gathered Yadivit is 1457.
That is a good serial number. Thank you.
Okay.
On Sales Station, Jackson 2, did you say go for the 1530 or the 1540 task?
And Jack, that was the 1540, so we're ready for the next bio cell.
Hey, copy 1540 at task.
Sales Station, this is Grand 2 for backup to today.
Sophie, go ahead on 2.
Urine transfer compressor hose to backup Yidivy with no tape and labeled to backup Yidivy is connected to Podacha Damlenia on Yidivy and task is complete.
We copy. That's a good config. Thank you, Sophie.
You're welcome.
Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie and a check of the laptop. Cobalt brick.
Sophie is with you on 2 and give me 1 minute. I'll go to Columbus. Sophie is with you on 2 on Columbus.
Yes, Sophie. After your cobalt brick switch activity, we have seen the payload laptop number 2 going down as expected, but we have not seen the payload laptop number 1 coming up. Please, can you cross-check that the cobalt brick is switched on? Because with cobalt brick switching on, also the laptop should boot up with receiving power. So this would be cobalt brick serial number 1339er and the payload laptop number 1.
Okay.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and Jessica and timeline plan.
Chris in the Russian segment. I see him floating down right now, though. So if you stand by 1, I think he will be here.
We'll go. There's a handover in a minute.
I'm holding up a view. Copy. And Fiona, I'm holding up the ripped LSG sleeve, so if anyone wants to see that catastrophic blowout.
What camera are you holding up for, Jess?
The lab camera. Next station, Sophie and 2, I just check. The cobalt brick was indeed on, but the power cable was slightly disconnected from the laptop. That should be good.
Okay, we copy. Thanks a lot. And now we also see it on the network and we see the current draw. Thanks a lot for checking.
Jess, we have lab cam streaming and we see the catastrophic blowout. Thanks for the views.
No worries. Chris is here with me now, so we can chat. We can chat.
Handing over. I'll be with you in 20 seconds. Jessica and Chris, back with you on 2 for timeline.
All right. We're here. We're looking at the timeline.
Okay. So big picture, our plan is to have Chris, after his midday meal, do the VEGO 6 activity that is on Jessica's timeline at 13:15. Once that's complete, the rhodium activity that's on Jessica's timeline at 11:25. So basically, Chris, those are replacing your blue cell fixation, which Jessica has taken care of. And we'd like to do VEGO first. It deconflicts the video between that and Sophie's pink activities.
Okay, we copy all.
Secondly, Jessica, your WRT pre-treat tank R&R, my plan is to see if Sophie will do that in place of her blue activity. I just need to double check that that timing move would work, but I'm 99% sure it would. So basically, your afternoon, you'd finish the cell fixations and then probably have a little bit of open time to make up for working hard all morning. And we would have basically taken your other three activities, rhodium, VEGO 6, and WHC, and moved them to Chris and Sophie.
Okay, we copy all. That sounds like a good plan. So with that, I'll go start midday meal, and then I guess Chris will as well, and then get ready for veg.
Okay, and while I have Chris, I can let him know that for his recycle tank drain, he is go in step 2.4, safing is in place.
Chris copies, go in 2.4.
Thank you both.
Houston, Chris on 2 for 2.9.2, a barcode of our recycle tank is 00260655, Mike.
All right, Chris, copy that. You go to continue.
Copy, continuing in 2.9.3. Houston, Chris on 2 for the recycle tank drain.
Go ahead on 2, Chris.
Yeah, I've connected the recycle tank up to the UPA fill drain valve block. The compressor hose, red hose, is connected to the UPA fill drain valve compressor port, and we are in the drain position.
Okay, Chris, copy that. Thanks for your work.
Sure thing.
Sophie, Houston, we just want to let you know that we like the scene you've set up there, and we are ready for contact more. All right, thanks, Sophie. We're looking for a 10 count.
Copy. I am ready for the comm check.
All right, Sophie, good scene and voice. Appreciated the countdown. Sounds good. We'll be ready to start on time.
Still patient on tube timeline.
We're with you on tube.
Just double checking. We talked about the timeline. Just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page. So the next mess, those last two that I have remaining, I will start that at the 105 time. And I think that that will, you know, Jack has his midday meal during some of those, but I think the timing should still work for him, kind of coming and going.
And Jessica, that's a good understanding.
Okay, awesome. I'll see you guys then. Thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoy your lunch. Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event? Radio France, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is APO. Can you read me? Thank you, Sophie. We are now going to switch to French. Et je vais donner la parole à Jérôme Chapuis pour France Info.
Bonjour Sophie Adno, et merci de donner un peu de votre temps aux auditeurs de France Info. Ça fait bientôt 4 mois maintenant que vous êtes à bord de l'ISS. Ça fait bientôt 4 mois que vous êtes à bord de l'ISS. Qu'est-ce qui vous a le plus émerveillé pendant ces 4 mois? Qu'est-ce qui continue aujourd'hui de vous émerveiller? Oui. Et notamment ces expériences avec des élèves de primaire, ils font pousser des plantes ici sur Terre. Là-haut, ça, la transmission, c'est important. On a demandé à plusieurs personnes de vous poser des questions sur France Info, et la première, ça va vous faire plaisir, c'est une étudiante de l'école d'ingénieurs qui vous a formé, Lisae Supaero, elle s'appelle Lou Goiffon, écoutez.
Hello, Messi s'intéresse depuis en psychologie spatiale. Vous, de votre côté, comment ressentez-vous cette présence grandissante et l'impact qu'elle a sur le milieu? Merci de votre réponse.
Sophie Adeno. Que change la présence des femmes aujourd'hui dans le milieu spatial? Une question de quelqu'un que vous connaissez bien, c'est la chef étoilée Anne-Sophie Pic qui vous a concocté quelques repas, des repas bonus. Écoutez.
Bonjour Sophie, j'espère que tu vas bien, je pense à toi tous les jours, je sais que tu es 400 km au-dessus de nos têtes. Une petite question pour toi aujourd'hui sur ta bonus food, quel est ton plat préféré?
Votre plat préféré dans votre dans vos repas bonus? Vous avez dit récemment que finalement la vie était plus calme à bord de l'ISS que durant les années d'entraînement. Et à ce sujet, je ne sais pas si vous avez le temps de lire, mais on a croisé tout récemment l'écrivain et prix Goncourt Laurent Mauvignier qui a une question pour vous.
J'aimerais lui demander s'il y a eu des moments d'ennui, mais dans le sens du terme, quoi.
Est-ce qu'il arrive, Sophie Adnaud, que vous vous ennuyez à bord de l'ISS ?
Merci.
Canel, vous êtes sur France Inter maintenant.
Bonjour Sophie Adnaud. On est très heureux de vous recevoir ce matin sur France Inter en duplex de la Station Spatiale Internationale à 400 km en orbite au-dessus de nous. Et je le dis pour nos auditeurs, j'ai une immense chance, c'est celle de vous voir en ce moment même avec un immense sourire, avec vos cheveux en apesanteur. Ça fait 3 mois et demi que vous êtes là-haut. Vous êtes presque arrivé à la moitié de votre mission. En fait, ça y est, maintenant, Sophie Adnaud, vous êtes dans l'espace comme à la maison, non ? Et on est émerveillé de voir effectivement cette capacité à continuer d'être surprise alors même que vous êtes surentraîné, surpréparé. Nous, ici sur Terre, comme chaque être humain, il y a des moments où on a des coups de mou, on va moins bien. Donc en fait, ça va tout le temps bien. Est-ce qu'il y a quand même des moments où c'est dur ou pas ? Et cette joie, elle est communicative, elle s'entend. Vous nous avez bouleversé par votre émotion en nous parlant de la Terre, de sa fragilité que vous pouviez voir depuis l'espace. Est-ce que là, pour nos auditeurs ce matin, vous pourriez nous la décrire comme si vous étiez devant un hublot le matin, en vous réveillant? On a par exemple ces derniers jours en France connu un dôme de chaleur, des températures jamais vues au mois de mai. Est-ce que ça, par exemple, c'est quelque chose qui se voit? Sophie Adnaud, dans l'ISS, vous avez un emploi du temps de ministre, si j'ose dire. Toutes les 5 minutes, vous avez une activité à faire, des expériences scientifiques, plus de 200. C'est aussi en ce moment même une expérience que vous menez avec des enfants qui sont sur Terre, sur la façon de comparer comment les graines germent sur Terre et dans l'espace. Il y a des expériences médicales aussi. C'est quoi le plus grand espoir sur ce que vous pourriez apporter soit à la science, soit à la médecine dans les expériences que vous faites en ce moment dans la Station Spatiale Internationale? Alors, et on entend votre émotion, Sophie Adnaud, et c'est magnifique de l'entendre sur cet aspect concret et qui est la meilleure réponse aussi à ceux qui pourquoi on va dans l'espace. Vous apportez cette réponse-là de la meilleure des manières. Sophie Adnaud. Il y a les expériences que vous faites, il y a votre quotidien. Et là, il y a beaucoup de Français qui aimeraient être dans la station spatiale et savoir comment, au fond, vous faites peut-être ce que nous, on fait sur Terre. Là, très rapidement, est-ce que vous lisez le soir? J'ai lu que oui. Et, par exemple, le dernier menu, dernier repas que vous avez pu faire, qu'est-ce que vous avez mangé? Sophie Adnaud. Bon, c'est pas mal. Sophie Adnaud, il nous reste quelques secondes. Je voudrais juste vous faire écouter un message de d'écolier de grande section. Il voulait vous parler.
Nous sommes une classe de grande section à Paris. Nous avons suivi votre décollage. J'espère que tu travailles bien. Tu nous as fait rêver. On t'aime.
Ah, il vous aime. Et peut-être que des petites filles, des petits garçons se disent en vous voyant, je ferai ça plus tard. Il nous reste une toute petite minute, c'est de nouveau Jérôme Chapuis pour France Info. On va en profiter pour rajouter une petite question. On parlait de nourriture. Votre quotidien, moi je pensais au sommeil. Est-ce que vous dormez bien? Vous approchez la moitié de votre mission. Qu'est-ce qui domine le plus dans un moment comme celui-ci? C'est l'envie d'en profiter au maximum ou l'impatience quand même de revoir la Terre? Et notamment l'impesanteur qui fait voler vos cheveux, c'est pas... Enfin, merci beaucoup en tout cas d'avoir été avec nous, avec les auditeurs de France Info, Sophie Adnaud. Merci.
Thanks a lot, Sophie. This marks the end of this event.
Station, this is Houston. That concludes the event.
Station Houston for Sophie and Timeline.
Sophie copies and ready to listen to Timeline.
Hey Sophie, we think you are already tracking this, but we just wanted to close the loop with you directly. Since Jessica is going to be taking the cell fixation activity, we were hoping you would pick up the WHC pre-treat tank R&R that's on her timeline this afternoon once you're complete with your Eurosuit activities.
Yeah, with pleasure. No worries at all. I'll do that. No worries.
All right. Thanks, Sophie.
You're welcome.
Station Huntsville on Face to Ground 2 for Jack. We are go for Kermit.
Station Houston on Face to Ground 2 for Chris.
Spell Chris on 2 for Reggie.
With you on 2 for Veggie.
Hey, I am getting tickets up in this Veggie activity, and you're welcome on board with the Columbus camcorder if you're not already, and I guess probably we can switch to 4 for the remainder of the columns.
That is a good field of view, and affirm, I was going to tell you we can switch to 4, and when you meet me over there, I've got just some big picture words for this activity. Station Huntsville on 2 for Chris and Veggie.
Huntsville, Chris is with you on 2.
Looks like KU's having some bratty comms. We're going to be in and out for the next 3 minutes. Did you copy my last 35 milliliters?
Affirm, 35 mLs for plant growth system 2-2, and were you happy with the video, what you saw in video, or is that going in and out as well?
The video dropped out just as you were showing us.
Okay, I will proceed with photographing and adding 35 mLs of water, but let me know if you want another video tour when KU comes back.
Copy, Chris, and we actually did manage to catch it just before it dropped out, and it looked good.
Copy, looks good.
Station Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for Jack and MEF-1 assist.
Over Jack on 2.
Jack, we're ready for your 1700 activity.
1700, inward.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jack. We are ready for your 1730 activity.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Chris.
Chris on 2.
Hey, Chris, we just wanted to catch you between activities here to say that we saw your crew note in the regen recycle tank drain activity this morning at 11:45. We agree with you, and I think that's good feedback about finding efficiencies by keeping grouped activities on one person's timeline. We just wanted to offer up that for this afternoon, you and Jack can kind of trade around as you see fit if you want to finish the regen recycle tank activity series, and maybe he could take the visual field device setup if that makes sense to you, but it's totally up to your discretion. Just wanted to suggest that and appreciate your feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for like the upcoming one that overlaps with the visual field setup, that one's literally just like flipping the valve, and I'm pretty sure that one's just flipping the valve and disconnecting the transfer hose. I think those types of things are totally fine to swap for different people. It's more when you have stowage stuff where you're like temp stowing bags that things go in and, you know, touching adapters that like, you know what they are, but they're not everyday adapters, and it's very easy to, you know, put a water adapter and a, you know, like one adapter in the wrong bag and that sort of thing. It just takes a lot of time. So I think totally heard, and I'll connect with Jack and we'll self-manage on it. But thanks for closing the loop on that. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. That makes complete sense to us.
Appreciate it. Huntsville, Chris on 2 for Rhodium. Ready for a field of view check in step 1.
We're checking. That's a good field of view, and we're ready for your next set of green thumb ops. Thanks for taking care of all these plants for us today.
Oh, it's a lot of fun getting to be a space gardener. I really appreciate it.
Space gardener will look good on the resume.
Absolutely. And I'll take better care of my tomatoes next year when I'm back on Earth. Huntsville, Chris on 2 for a rhodium procedure question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so just I guess two questions. One, just to double-check my understanding. We want three photos of each pair of biocuvettes. So I'll take, you know, like one and two, I'll take three photos of sort of that grouping of one and two. And my understanding is we kind of want to focus on, like, the whole roots and plants. I just wanted to double-check that math. And then the second one is, you know, there's a desire to avoid glare. I know the photo settings have us using a flash. I think if minimal glare is desired, maybe increasing the ISO and not using the flash might get us better pictures. Just wanted to throw that out there as a suggestion. I think I can figure it out with the flash and get good photos as well, but just put that out there for thought.
All right, copy all. We're checking. And Chris, back with you on 2 for your answers.
On 2.
That's good understanding of the three photos each of the pair of biocuvettes. And for the photo, we'd like to try to continue using flash because we've had better luck with that in the past. But we'll adjust as we need as we go along with the activity. And a quick adjustment to the field of view, if you could pan so that we can see where they're actually going to be attaching to the structure.
Yeah, sure thing. Can do. Yeah, and just to confirm, do you want a picture of me taking pictures of the cuvettes, or do you want it do you want video of where they're attached?
That's a good field of view for now. We can see both.
Okay, copy all.
Unique station, Sophie, on 2 for your suit.
And Sophie, go ahead on 2.
Yeah, I was trying to do the com check on 4, and no answers on 4, so I was wondering if you could help me on that one.
And Sophie, we're still setting up the loops. What I can do in this last minute is to give you the deltas for the camera setup in case you want to start that.
Yes, please do.
Okay, when you open up the execution procedure, there is a camera setup, and the steps you're going to perform are 1.3, 1.5, 1.6, and 2.1.
Copy.
And Guillaume is waiting for you on the other side.
You mean on 4?
After the LOS, we resume on 4.
Okay.
Station Huntsville on Fish Ground 2 for Jack and Kermit.
Station Huntsville on 2 for Chris and Rhodium, no response required. Just a heads up, we're about 30 seconds out from an LOS. We'll be out KU for about 5 minutes. We won't have video, but we're good to be pressing through Rhodium.
So Station Jack's on 2. I think we're calling about Kermit before the handover.
Yes, we were, Jack, and we are ready for your 1810 cassette swap.
1810 cassette swap in work.
Copy.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for Rhodium.
With you on 2 for Rhodium, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got all those photos, and I'm downlinking them now. Do you happen to have a list of cards that you still want retained? Since I'm going into our, you know, retained cards spot, I figured I could clean out the ones that you've already gotten data from.
Yeah, I've got a list for you. Retained cards will be 1001, 1035, 1047, and 1109.
Apologies. Could I grab that list one more time from you?
Yeah, no worries. I saw you shuffling through there. I thought you were grabbing them. It's 1001, 1035, 1047, and 1109.
Copy that, and I will get rid of the other ones. I'll also save the one that I just took, 1068. Sounds good. Thank you. Copy all.
We copy, Jack. What's good? Both.
Spell Chris on 2-4 flashcards. I don't see 1001 in here, but I have a. I was wondering if I could just read you a list of cards that just make sure they're all okay to recycle. I've got 1007, 1051, 1018, 1036, 1046, and then I have one that is that doesn't have a visible serial number on it, but is labeled rhodium.
We're checking on those.
Copy, thank you.
I'm Soul Station on 2-4 sleeve storage.
We're with down to you, Jessica.
Yeah, so I did get the damaged or the blown out sleeve out of the JSB. I labeled it in a bag, and I will put that back in 1.05109. I also have the medium 10-inch sleeve that we were going to use that we think is suspect, and Chris sent those pictures down already. So I was thinking to put that in a separate bag and label that as suspect. It's definitely pulling, like, not adhered to the ring on the entire circumference, so it wouldn't be an actual seal. And I know he sent those pictures down, but unless you have anything else you want me to do with that, I will put it in a Ziploc and put it also in 5109.
And Jessica, that sounds like a good plan to us. Thank you for letting us know that you're going to do that, and we appreciate the extra help.
All right, no worries.
Station Huntsville on space ground 2 for Chris and Flashcard.
Thank you.
So all the labeled flashcards you read down, those can all be released. The one with no serial number on it is the missing flashcard 1001. If it's possible, you could relabel it, but I understand there's not a lot of real estate on those tiny cards.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, because, yeah, everything should have a serial number on it, so I will see what I can do about putting 1001 on that unlabeled one.
Copy all, and just to make sure I have it clear, that 1001 does still need to be retained.
Yep, and thank you for the clarification, and yep, that sounds good to me.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for any available crew member for help with the NMS laptop.
Chris can give you a hand with that in about 2 minutes, if that works.
Yes, sir. We appreciate it, and no rush.
Copy all.
Huntsville Station on 2-4, Meth Storage.
Go ahead on 2.
Well, we decided to take the plate holder and adapter out of the LSG, but I don't have that information in the stow note, because in the stow note it just says temp stow in LSG. So just looking for a location for that one.
Copy checking.
Thank you. And I'm assuming that would be the same location to get a replacement one. I think we were going to try a different one to see if it worked a little better.
Checking.
This is on 2 for NMS laptop.
Hey, Chris. We just wanted to follow up on the troubleshooting Sophie started this morning on the NMS laptop at Lab 1 Server 5. You're there now, so I'm assuming you know what I'm talking about. We're just hoping you can reseat the cable in the back right USB port. We think maybe that's causing our problem on the ground.
Okay, let me take a look. I do see a USB to Ethernet adapter that's connected in there. I do not see any blinking lights on it. The one that's in the front right port does have blinking lights, so seems like something is not fully connected. I'll try I tried reseating both sides of the connection of that USB to Ethernet adapter, and I still don't see any blinking lights. I'm assuming that I should expect to see, you know, a green and an orange light on the adapter if it's properly working.
Go ahead.
Okay, copy that, Chris. We agree with your observation, and we'll keep thinking about it on the ground.
Yeah, one suggestion, I don't know if the two Ethernet USB adapters are on different networks or not, but I could try plugging the Ethernet cable of the one that's not working into the one that is working and see if the problem stays with the Ethernet cable or stays with the adapter, if that's helpful.
Good thought, Chris. We're talking about it, and we'll get back to you shortly.
Sounds good.
Hey, Chris, if not too late as you're floating through the hatch there, we do like your troubleshooting idea. We just like it to end up back in its current config when you're done, and then any observations you have would be appreciated. Sorry for waiting a few seconds too late to catch you there.
No, not at all. Let me do a really cool and stylish flip around, so I appreciate the opportunity to do that in Zero-G. I will just swap which Ethernet cable is plugged into which adapter and return it to the original configuration and let you know what I find out.
Okay, Chris. We can confirm you did look cool.
Oh, I already knew. And Houston, I can confirm that the problem seems to be on the Ethernet cable side of things. If I switch the adapter, which Ethernet cable is plugged into which adapter, now the adapter on the black on the back right has the good lights, and the one that's on the front right has no lights.
Okay, Chris, makes sense to us. Problems with the Ethernet cable.
Or to be clear, it is either the Ethernet cable or whatever the Ethernet cable is plugged into downstream. And this is Ethernet cable 1009.
Okay, thanks.
But maybe that whatever the other end of this is not plugged in properly or something like that.
Yeah, roger that. Thanks for the serial number and makes sense. Maybe better said, the problem is not the USB adapter. So we'll think about what else it could be in the chain. Thanks.
Yeah, copy that. Sounds good. Yeah, let me know if there's any, it looks like I should have a little bit of time today, so let me know if there's anything else I can track down on that for you, and totally happy to help. Houston, Chris on 2. I was getting some pre-stowage stuff done for the visual field device and was wondering if you guys can support some questions on that or if I should hold off till later.
We can take them now, Chris.
Yeah, so in the execution note, there's asking if there is a Gigi adapter labeled visual field device in the accessories kit. There is one. It's not labeled as such, but there is one. And I guess I'm assuming you want me to report the number and label that one as opposed to trying to find an alternate one. And then just for some historical context on this, I'm like 98% sure that about 5 months ago, you guys told me to go take the labeled visual field device one from this box and deploy it on ARED, where it currently is deployed, as the USB to Gigi adapter. So I don't know if that's helpful historical context, but yeah, I remember diving into PMM to take it out of this box per MCC direction.
All right, Chris, your memory is good. DME agrees with that historical context, and it is helpful. If you could just call down the barcode, we'd just like to verify that that's a good USB to Gigi adapter before you put the label on it.
Copy that. The barcode is Papa Oscar Charlie 24857 Juliet. And Jesse reports this is the same one that was used a couple days ago when this device was tried.
Okay, Chris, copy the barcode, agree, that is the correct one, and you're go to label it, and we'll keep it with this hardware kit moving forward.
Copy all. And I do think the one that is currently on ARED has a label that also says Visual Field Device USB Adapter. Do you want me to take that label off the one on ARED, or just leave that as is?
We agree with your idea there, Chris. You're welcome to remove that label.
Sounds good. I will do that at some point. Houston Station, Jackson 2 for SSC-19.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm swapping out the SSCs and the Dragon, and there's a note that's been on 19 since we showed up here. It says no downlinking as of GMT 225 in the year 2025. Just want to know if you guys are tracking that, if it still applies, or if I can remove that note.
Thanks for the call down, Jack. Pluto wasn't tracking the note you just called down, but you are still go for the swap, and we will run down any forward actions, if any.
Yes, awesome. Thanks very much. Houston, Chris on 2 for Visual Field Device. Are you okay with me getting this set up and powered on a little early?
Yes, Chris, your go.
Happy go. Thank you. Houston, Chris on 2 for Visual Field Device, step 2.15.3. So in 2.15.3, so there isn't a Realtek USB Gigabyte Ethernet family controller. There is an ASICS AX88179 USB 3.0 to Gigabit Ethernet controller. I assume that's what you're looking for. I just figured since there's a discrepancy with what the procedure is expecting, I would check in with that verification for you.
Good instincts to check, Chris. That is the correct device, and we will update the procedure to match. Thanks.
Yep, makes sense. We're just looking that there's a Gigabit Ethernet cable connected with a viewed network, and that is the case.
Houston Station checks on 2-4 cycle tank drain, looking for an early go in 3.1.2 if drain commanding is complete.
All right, Jack, you are go for the recycle tank drain, and we have one delta for you in 5.2.3. We'd like you to disconnect those items before stowing.
Okay, I've got to go in the beginning, and in 5.2.3, I will disconnect the brine transfer hose as a resupply tank brine adapter before stowing them.
That's a good understanding, Jack. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on 2 for visual field device. The device is set up, and I am logged out of the laptop.
Okay, roger that, Chris. Thank you.
Houston, station on 2 for recycle tank teardown and stowage.
Go ahead on 2.
Questions for you. For the recycle tank, the procedure says to double bag it, but the stow note seems to imply triple bagging. Just wanted to double check that answer. And then the stowage location says node 3 port end cone. The node 3 port end cone is chock-a-block full. So we were just kind of wondering long-term where the plan is for this to go. Is it something we can temp stow install for a little bit and then it's going somewhere else, you know, going on Cygnus or somewhere else? Or just wanted to figure out what made sense, because I don't think Node 3 port end cone can handle a recycle tank.
All right, thanks for the call, Chris. We would like you to triple bag it, please, and copy the stowage issue. We're looking into it, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Copy all, and Jack is currently triple bagging it as we speak. And Jack also says that we are in a good configuration in step 5.8. The UPA fill drain valve is in fill, and the compressor port is uncapped.
We copy. Good configuration. Great teamwork.
Makes the dream work.
Station Houston, space to ground 2 for recycle tank stowage.
Houston Station, Jackson 2 for water resupply tank stowage.
Hey Jack, we just wanted to follow up. We like your idea of leaving that tank temp stowed install if you guys don't think it's in the way, and we will get back to you next week with a more permanent stowage location.
Awesome, we will execute that plan.
Munich Station, Sophie M2, for, did you
receive
question?
Sophie, Munich, would you
want to? Can you write down the zoning and docking timings, please? And if yes, could you give them to me?
And Sophia, the specialist left the room, and you can provide the info any time.
I don't understand your answer. I do not have the times. I know the team in Cadmos wrote down the times, but I did not have them written down. So could you ask them, please?
Sophie, stand by. We're talking about it.
Okay. Or else I just put 00 in my questionnaire. And the teams, since they have it, they will know about it.
Sophie, the number you entered is perfectly fine for us.
Okay, thank you.
Houston Station, space to ground 2 for Jack and SSC 19 follow-up.
Spotted me, fixing the camera, but I'm here for SSC 19.
Hey, bud, we just wanted to circle back with you on that duct tape label on SSC-19. We believe the history on that is a crew member put it there because they were trying to downlink a large number of pictures from that SSC, and then it got swapped into Dragon, and the downlink was not completed. So it's just kind of a friendly warning that if you want to use it to downlink data, you're subject to a Dragon swap. So we'll kind of leave it up to your guys' crew discretion on whether you want to remove it or keep it there. But there's no issues with the SSC itself or its ability to downlink as far as we know.
Awesome. That makes sense. Actually, SSC 12 has the exact same note on it now that I look at it, and I'm sure it's for the exact same reason. We'll chat about it up here, and we'll let you know what we go with it, which direction we go with it.
Okay, sounds good, and we'll give you three guesses of who labeled them that way, but the first two don't count.
We're so predictable.
Thanks, Jack.
Station Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for Jack and Timeline.
Houston, Chris on 2 for GPS stowage.
Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, I should have asked this question before I rotated the rack in PMM, but I figure I will ask the question before I fully put it back away. My understanding is that these two GPSs, SIGI 13 and SIGI 16, are not working, and I was wondering if these have any plans to, like, go away either on Dragon or Cygnus.
Okay, good question, Chris. We are still talking about that on the ground, so we don't have a long-term plan for them, but we do not expect them to be designated for return soon.
Okay, I will finish putting the PMM back together then. I just figured, I wouldn't want to put them back there and then pull them out again in a week. So I figured I would ask. Thank you.
Absolutely fair question, and we'll make sure that we send Jack to go get them if we need them.
Jessica said nice to that. I said, no, we wouldn't do that to Jack.
We might, though. Thanks, Chris.
I heard that.
I'm still station. Jack's on 2.
Hey, Jack, I've got some information for you regarding some items on your timeline for the rest of the day. There's a few things. Let me know when you are ready to copy.
I am ready.
All right, so your blue MEP-1 cassette remove and Kermit hardware power down activities can be considered flexible if kept in sequence, but you'll also need to perform an additional activity between those two, which is 2.008 Kermit microscope filter changeout. You can find that on your timeline on GMT 145 at 12:05. For that microscope filter changeout, we'll have DAPI coming out, which will be facing you when you open the microscope, and then Texas Red going in. Both Texas Red and the bubble wrap to stow DAPI are in the Bloom Nomex pouch next to Kermit, and we're about 30 seconds from a handover. Jack Huntsville's back with you.
Huntsville Station, Jack's back with you. Copy that the cassette swap out and the Kermit can be flexible as long as I do them in order, and in between the two I'll do procedure 2.008 filter change out, pulling DAPI out, and on my timeline from GMT 145.
Good copy. And then also at the end of the MEP cassette remove activity, the third activity you'll perform, you'll need to reinstall fixture D, which should also be next to Kermit.
I'll reinstall fixture D.
And then final thing, at 1840 you have the BEM cart Melfi remove, and that is go at any time.
All right, and the 1840 Melfi remove is go at any time. Awesome, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Just to make sure we get everything clear, we do still want you to perform that inox cartridge activity before any of these activities.
Okay, I'm going to do the aux swap out right now, and then I'll probably get into the rest of it.
That works for us. Thank you, Jack.
There's a rumor flight's going to make me dive into the PMM to get some GPS stuff out, so that may ruin my evening, but we'll see if they get to it today.
That makes me feel a little better about all the things I just asked you to do.
Station, Sophia 2 for Retreat R&R.
Go ahead.
I finished gathering the equipment for the Future Tank INR, and I was wondering if you wanted to come on board with the Note 3 camera, or if I'm just go to start.
Thanks for the offer, Sophie. We'd love the camera view if you're willing.
Yes, for sure. I will do this right now.
Station Houston for Sophie, before you get in too deep there, we just wanted to ask if you would maybe pan the camera a little bit towards ARED. Jessica's about to get on T2, just so she's out of the camera view while you're working. And ironically, she's still on ARED right now, so we just made it worse. Perfect. Thanks, Sophie. And copy the nonverbal communication, Jessica. Thanks. Station Houston, space to ground 2 for Chris and visual field, circle back. Hey Chris, we are working on configuration for the visual field activity on the ground, and we're seeing issues similar to when we tried this a few days ago. The team thinks that the Gigi adapter, now famously labeled by you, is actually faulty. And our quickest path to troubleshooting and workaround is actually using the one from ARED that you mentioned this morning in your historical context. So what we're hoping to do is once Jessica is complete on ARED, remove that Gigi adapter and swap it into the visual field setup. The impacts of that would be that we don't get rep counts on the ground for Andrea's exercise. But our engineers are okay with that. There should be no crew impact to you guys. The Russian crew doesn't use the internet to access their prescriptions, and our understanding is that USOS activity on ARED will be complete when Jessica is done. So if that checks with your understanding, we'd like to do that as soon as possible so we can work set up on the ground before her exam.
Yeah, totally happy to do that. And just curious, I'm looking at the visual field like laptop now. What's the bad signature that you're seeing?
For lack of a better description, it's like a laggy SSC, so we just don't think we're getting good data through that adapter to support the information we need to complete the exam successfully.
Okay, yeah, copy, yeah, because like I'm looking at the SSC display and like, I see the image from the visual field, it all seems to look pretty normal.
Yep, understood, Chris. It's an intermittent issue, and it's basically going to slow down the exam if that lag pops up while we're doing it and won't be able to complete it effectively. So we'd like to give this a try if you guys are up for it.
Yep, totally up for it. I will just swap the USB to Gigi adapters, and I think it will also be telling if that USB to Gigi adapter works on ARED. That'll probably tell something.
Okay, and just one clarification. Chris, we don't want to install that one on ARED because they're configured differently for ARED. So we'll just temp stow the one currently on visual field, borrow the one from ARED to attempt to complete the exam, and then we'll decide how to swap them back when we're done.
Okay, yeah, copy all. Yeah, I think that makes sense, and I'll just let Andre know that he won't get his rep counts or prescription or, like, data down to his acers.
Okay, thanks, Chris. And he should be able to complete his exercise as planned, so good information for him, but hopefully not a big impact.
Yep, copy up. Houston, Chris on 2 for visual field device USB adapter. Okay to just hot swap them, or do you want me to like power anything off before I swap them out?
Chris, you're a go to hot swap, and just would appreciate a verification of the Ethernet connection per step 2.15 of the setup procedure.
Copy and look up. Houston, Chris on 2 for visual field.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, that seems to unfortunately have not worked. I don't see the adapter listed, and the computer is being very poorly responsive now, like kind of freezing when you try to open up the network windows, and I've lost in the visual field device software. It's super laggy and intermittent.
Okay.
And there's no more, obviously no more image from the visual field device now that they don't have the network connection.
Roger that, Chris. That all makes sense to us. We would love if you were willing to try a power cycle to see if that helps us get back up and running. Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Chris. Just want to see if you got our last transmission. I walked myself into the handover there.
I did. So my question was power cycle of the visual field device or the laptop or both. My suspicion is that the laptop may need a reboot to get back to a happy state.
Excellent clarification question, Chris. Just the SSC for now, please.
Happy giving the SSC a reboot. And just to clarify, we'll close out the software that is up.
Yep, that sounds good, Chris.
Houston, Chris on 2. I have rebooted the SSC. It seems happier now, and I am signing out. It has a good network connection to the USB to GE adapter. And I am signing out, so BME can do the thing.
Okay, Chris, I think that's all the help we need right now. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Looking good up there, guys.
Houston, Station Jax on 2 for an early go for Yeti Bay changeout.
Hey, Jack, we just need 1 second to coordinate on the ground. Our ethos briefly stepped out. While I have you, if you're willing, we noticed the lab camera looks like it's out of focus. Could you just verify that it's in autofocus?
Sometimes Chris floats by and the camera just has a reaction and unfocuses itself.
How many flies does it take to focus the lab camera? It's still looking fuzzy, but we'll think of some different ideas on things we might be able to try.
I thought it was focused on the mustache, and that might have been the issue.
An excellent question, and actually, look, it looks beautiful now. We can see each individual strand of that beautiful mustache. Thanks for fixing it. Copy, space high five. Thanks. And Station Houston Space Ground 2 for Jack, you are go for your Yeti Bay changeout.
Go for Yeti Bay. Houston Station Jack on 2 in step 3.3. My Yeti Bay is serial number 1318.
That's what we're expecting. Thanks, Jack.
Houston, Chris on 2 for a ZBook question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I had an earlier activity today to drop off a ZBook in the Russian segment, and so I grabbed one and passed it off, and I was just reconnecting with Sergey to pick up the old ZBook, and he was saying that they don't have a task until a couple weeks from now to do the hard drive swap out, and so we just wanted to double check the intent of the task, because I guess that right, that's one of their laptops that they're using right now, and so I guess I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page with what should be happening. Sergey is also checking with the Russian ground team.
Chris, almost don't want to call you back to interrupt that amazing flipping regime, but we talked it quickly on the ground, and there is a bit of a disconnect probably. We thought that laptop you were swapping with was failed and that they weren't actively using it, but we don't see a problem with them keeping both those ZBooks on the Russian segment for now if they need it until they're ready to perform the hard drive swap.
Okay, that sounds perfect. Yeah, I'll just float over and touch base, and we'll make sure we're all on the same page. But the status will be that I brought them a new laptop. They still have the old one, and at some point they'll give us back the dead one, and we'll check in with it at that time. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
No problem. What's a few ZBooks between friends?
Exactly. Awesome. Thanks, Jim.
Station Station Jack on 2 for Yeti Bay swap.
Go ahead on 2.
Station Station on the Yeti Bay changeout, step 3.10. The 2 UPA fill drain
urine transfer compressor hose is connected to the Badachadon Valenia on Yetivay 1318.
Copy that, Jack, and we just want to double check that that connection has double green tape on it.
Houston Station, thanks for the catch there. That was actually the wrong hose. Now I have the urine transfer compressor hose labeled 2 offload Yeti Bay with the double green tape on it connected to the Badacha Davalania.
Okay, thanks, Jack. That's a good config.
Houston Station, SOCM2, that's task complete and all nominal. WG is go to use.
Thanks, Sophie. Great work, and thank you for the situational awareness on the camera.
Welcome.
Houston, Chris on cue for tone test.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so ready for the tone test. I can verify that the patch panel cable is hooked up to, it's hooked up to the starboard CQ ports. It was in standby, so I hit PTT to wake it up and check the current volume level, and it's at 9 bars.
Okay, copy that, Chris. Thanks for the report on volume level. We need about 1 minute before we initiate the test. Standby.
Copy.
Houston, Chris, I'm just a really quick question. Will the volume level change based on whether the APU is in standby or not? I had to, wake it up to check the volume, and that was just one question I think we had.
Good question, Chris. The volume should always come up at the default level of 9. And while I have you, we were curious if you're willing to share whether you typically wear any hearing protection during sleep periods.
Negative.
Okay, copy that, and we are about to initiate the first of 2 tests.
Copy, listening. Houston Station on 2. Can you give your report now or wait till after the next one?
We'll take a report now, Chris.
Yeah, it's definitely there. I would say it's the same, I think this is the same kind of issue that I think we've had. It's just not particularly loud throughout all of station. The volume inside the CQ is similar to the volume when you're outside in node 2, similar to the volume in the lab, which is, you can hear the tone, but it's not very loud.
Okay, that's really good feedback, Chris. We will initiate the second test and talk about on the ground the overall system volume.
Copy, thank you. Houston, Chris on 2. Also audible in the CQ. I would say that one felt, just sort of ducking my head in the CQ versus like out in the middle of node 2 felt just maybe a tiny bit quieter in the CQ than in node 2. Fair report that you can hear it, but I think if you were choosing to choosing the volume of these tones, you would choose something louder for a warning or an emer tone. I guess to maybe quantify it or qualitatively describe it, it is significantly quieter than the default volume of my iPad alarm in the morning.
Okay, that's really helpful context and data, Chris. We really appreciate it on the ground. We're curious if you take the ATU volume to max and we initiate another test, just any feedback you might have relative to the test we just performed.
Copy. ATU volume is now maxed out.
Okay, Chris, we're going to send another warning tone.
Copy. Houston, Chris. I'd say that was a little bit louder. I don't think it was, I'd say it felt a little bit louder. I think that louder is good.
Okay, thanks, Chris. We really appreciate the data and observations. We're going to be talking about this one on the ground to help get the system to a more effective level.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, I will also say that even at that volume level, if I were designing the system de novo, I would make the volume louder than that. Anything we can do to get it louder, I think, is a good thing. I think that applies not just for the CQ one, but just like for the general level of tones in station, like the volume level compared to like the background humming of things is
Generally not particularly loud, so I think if there's anything we can, you know, look at for just keeping the volume max for those tones, I think that would be a good idea.
Okay, Chris, we copy the recommendation and we'll work it on our end.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the help with it.
Houston Station on 2 for a visual field test.
Go ahead on 2.
Houston Station on 2 for visual field test.
Go ahead on 2, Jessica.
Hi, Kayla. So nice to hear your voice. I finally get to speak to you. I am ready for the test. Just checking in if we are in any better shape or how it's looking.
It's wonderful to hear your voice, too, and it's been so fun working with you guys today. We are just privatizing Space to Ground 4, but otherwise our config is looking good, so we will call you on Space to Ground 4 when we're ready.
Okay, copy. Thanks.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Chris at your convenience, sir.
Chris is with you, too.
Hey, Chris, just wanted to check in with you as our fearless USOS lead and say that we're really impressed by the crew's work today and being really efficient and flexible in how we executed tasks. You guys demonstrate a lot of awesome teamwork. If you would like, we would be happy to cancel the USOS portion of evening DPC, but I do have 3 quick items for you. And maybe a few things past the crew, but we should be able to wrap it up pretty quickly if that's your preference.
Yeah, I think we do have a topic for DPC, but I'm also happy to take things now if that's easier.
Okay, sounds good. We will leave it up to your discretion. The big picture of the 3 items, I have some troubleshooting steps for the NMS laptop Ethernet. I got a little bit of guidance for you on your visual field stow activity, and then a question from ISO when you're ready.
Give me 2 seconds, and I'll be right back with you. Kayla, Chris is back with you on 2. Jessica told me I had to dress the parts for being ready for doing lots of important tasks, so I'm ready to copy, and I've got some graces and happy to help with the NMS laptop.
So impressive, Chris. I'm taking a picture of you right now on the big board to send a grinder. He'll be so proud to see the work Ethern back in action. The first thing we had for you is we're hoping you can check the other end of the Ethernet cable on the NMS laptop. It's at the Lab 1 router in port Violet Alpha 3. So if you could just give that connection a good reseat, we're hoping that'll solve our problem.
Copy. I'll take a look. Lab 1 router, Violet Alpha 3, and yeah, hopefully it's just slightly not seated. I'll take a look in a second.
Okay. Next topic from for your visual field stow activity, just the deltas for restoring that Gigi adapter. When you're stowing it and returning it to ARED, we want you to close the software, then plug in the Gigi adapter, then reboot the ARED software. That should allow it to come up in a good configuration. But on top of that, we'd like you to wait for a go from us to perform that activity so that we can do a little bit of follow-up on the ground before you break it down.
Copy that. All right, I'll stand by on doing the visual field breakdown, and once I do, I'll bring the adapter back to ARED, but before I plug it into ARED, I'll close the software, plug it in, and restart the ARED software.
All right, that's a good readback. And then the last item is there was a question in yesterday's daily summary that we think will help us figure out what's going on with StowTrack for you guys. So what we're hoping is that someone could verify that you can access the StowTrack by opening the ISS homepage, clicking on the StowTrack tab, and then clicking on StowTrack. So that's for the troubleshooting and Safari steps. So I see you going to the SSC, so if you give us any words on that, that would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to confirm, you're talking about bringing up StowTrack on SSC, iPad, iPads where it's working in Safari, or iPads where it's not working in Safari?
Okay, copy that, Chris, and just getting some clarification from ISO on the question. I think what we're looking to understand is whether you are accessing StowTrack through that nominal pathway, either on the iPad through the SSCs, or if you're using some other like shortcut or link to get to it, because that could be part of the problem.
I see that. I think that's the way we are all opening it, but I will check with everybody. My iPad happens to be the one where it actually works in Safari, and that pathway works for me, but I'll check with the others.
Okay, thanks, Chris. And a crew note on that is fine. Call down's fine, whatever you prefer. And for your evening DPC topic, we will let you know when we're ready for it.
Okay, well, let's just keep it at, that sounds perfect. Yeah, you just let us know when you're ready for it, and that works for us, and I will pull everybody, and we'll crew note down about StoTrack. Thank you, Cole.
Thank you, Chris.
Houston, Chris on two for NMS Laptop.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, that looks like it was indeed the problem. That end of the Ethernet cable is one of those ones that doesn't have a clip on it. I shoved it, looked like it backed out a little bit. I shoved it back in. Now if I look at the adapters on the NMS Laptop, both of them have blinking lights. If it's okay with you guys, I was going to grab one of those little clip replacements and probably unplug that cable again for a second, put a little replacement clip on it, and plug it back in. Does that work for you guys?
That is good for us. Thank you, Chris.
Houston, Chris on two. One more thing for you, Kayla. Sergey just stopped by and dropped off the ZBook shell. He just went ahead and did the hard drive swap. I've got that ZBook shell, and I know that's going into a SpaceX return bag, but he also dropped off the battery and the Ultra Bay drive and the hard drive, and just wanted to double-check where those should go. I think it's in lab deck 4 usually, but just wanted to make sure.
Copy your question, Chris. Our expectation was that those components would be in the shell, so we're just going to follow up to see if we want you to put them there or what exactly we want you to do with them, so you can temp stow them for now at your discretion.
Okay, yeah, I think I'll temp stow them. I mean, I'm happy to quickly put them back in the shell, but my understanding is the shell is coming back, and I'm guessing we probably don't want to return the batteries and the hard drives that were originally from the new ZBook. Just let me know.
It's absolutely a great question. Just give us a few minutes to confirm, Chris.
Sounds great. And, yeah, no rush. I'm going to attempt to store these items at lab port 6, and just let me know whenever you know.
Houston Station on Space to Ground 2 for Chris. Just wanted to close the loop and make sure we're on the same page with your preference. We would still intend to cancel the USOS portion of evening DPC and coordinate that with Moscow unless that's when you prefer or to do your call down. Otherwise, we will work it with you when the time is right here.
Let me check in with the crew. I think maybe we can do our call down after we're done with the visual field exam.
Okay, sounds good, Chris. We can check back in after you have a chance to talk to the crew.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Chris for a follow-up on ZBook part stowage and your upcoming activities.
Chris is with you.
Hey, Chris. We just wanted to give you a go for your regen recycle tank drain activity if you'd like to take care of that early. And then I have a stowage location for the ZBook hard drives and battery when you're ready to copy.
Sounds great. Yeah, copy the early go for the regen activities, and I am ready to copy.
We'd like you to stow them in the 1.0 CTV serial number 5003, stowed at node 1, deck 4, underscore kilo 1. And if you could provide the battery serial number before you stow it, that would be appreciated.
Copy, 1.05003, node 1, deck 4, kilo 1. Battery serial number is 1205.
Copy that. 1205. Thanks, Chris.
No problem. Thank you. For those, then I'll head right into my region activity. This Houston, station on 2. We are also ready to do our DTC topics as soon as you guys can accommodate.
We are ready now when you are.
Okay, folks are flying over, and we'll give you a call in a minute or two.
Houston, station on 2 for a special message.
We are standing by.
All right. Well, tonight we wanted to take a moment to recognize Connie Musler. Connie started her tenure at JSC in the fall of 1985 as a co-op student. She worked 3 tours in the engineering directorate and then transitioned into MOD. She graduated from Purdue University in the fall of 88 and began working full-time at JSC in the spring of 1989. She started in the Control and Propulsion Training Group and certified as a Shuttle Mission Simulator Instructor and a Simulation Control Area Instructor. As an SMS instructor, she trained the crew of STS-42.
In 1996, Connie transitioned to the Guidance and Propulsion branch of the Systems Division under her using her training and curriculum development skills to build an Ascent Entry Simulator and training curricula for GNC and prop flight controllers. In 1998, Connie joined the International Training Integration Office, working with the international partners on the basic training for ASCANS and for the International Space Station. While there, she led the training division's effort to develop and train ISIS systems for the first time to the 1998 and 2000 ASCAN classes. And for this effort, Connie was awarded the coveted Silver Snoopy Award.
2003, Connie transitioned to the ISS Training and the Daily Operations Group in the Training Division. As a certified Daily Ops Group instructor, Connie trained Expedition 13, 19, and 36. In 2014, Connie was awarded the honor of hanging the plaque for the Expedition 36 training in the SVMS. While working as a Daily Ops Group instructor, Connie also certified as an ISO and as an ACO transfer officer. As a transfer officer, she supported STSs 130, 131, 132, and 134. After the end of the shuttle program, she led the ISO team for the Orbital Science Corporation's ORV demo and Orb 1 Cygnus cargo missions. For her efforts, Connie was selected to hang the Orb 1 Cygnus mission plaque in MCC, making her one of the few flight controllers to have hung both training and flight control plaques.
While in ISO, Connie co-authored the training flow and mentored over 30 students for certification. She was also an increment lead for Expeditions 50, 65, 72, cargo lead for Crew 5, Crew 8, Crew 11 missions. Connie rounded out her NASA career as an acting group lead for ISO, group in the IDA branch in EVA, Robotics Crew Ops Division, and in the Flight Operations Directorate. Thanks a lot, Connie. Career. We're really proud of you. Thanks for all your help and support over the years.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it here in the room. Great work today.
All right. Thanks very much, Kayla, and all of Houston, Huntsville, Munich, and SCUBA. We really appreciate all the support today. It's been a big, big week, and we've really appreciated all the work you put in. Everybody have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, team, and Chris, we'll circle back with you when you're ready. When we're ready for you to de-stow visual field.
Chris, copy. Thank you.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Chris. You are go to perform your visual field stow activity, and for your awareness, we're no longer downlinking onboard camera views.
But you won't get to see our huggle then. Chris, copy.
We are so sorry to miss it, but can imagine it from here. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kayla.
Houston, Chris on 2 for UPA. I am complete in my activity. The UPA filled drain valve is in process, and the red hose is connected to the UPA filled drain valve compressor port.
Chris, we copy. Good config. Thank you.
Sounds great. I'm going to get into that visual field breakdown, but we did actually have one question we forgot to ask you guys, which is if there are any SSRMS updates.
Excellent question, Chris. The latest on the ground is that we're still working potential forward paths. No planned arm movements over the weekend, but there's a plan to work on Monday to do a walk-off to help us evaluate whether we might want to perform an R&R on an EVA, but that's still up for debate and discussion.
Copy that. Up for debate and discussion and probably a walk-off on Monday. Thanks. I'll make sure everybody's up here is looped in on that. And, yeah, really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks, Chris.
Houston, Chris on two for visual field device stowage clarification.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so my understanding is I'm going to get ARED back into its proper config with the USB to Ethernet adapter we took from ARED. I have this other USB to Ethernet adapter that wasn't behaving nicely. Is the plan, should I stow that back with the visual field device connected to the Ethernet cable, or are we doing something different with that?
Okay, Chris, good question. Give us a moment and we'll get you an answer.
Thank you.
Station Houston, Space Ground Crew for Chris.
Chris, on two.
Hey, Chris. We would just like you to label the suspect Gigi adapter suspect, and then you can put it back in its original location with the rest of the visual field hardware. We will have a better plan for it by the time the next activity rolls around.
Copy all. I suspect we can get that done.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Chris and Gigi adapter follow-up.
This is Swifty on 2.
Hey, Chris. In the time it took you to call me, we had our issue resolved. We just weren't seeing the ARED tablet online, but now we do. So no questions for you in the end. Sorry to bug you.
It's great timing because you called me right as I plugged it into the ARED tablet. I was just waiting for Andre to finish.
That's what we figured. Great minds think alike. Thanks, Chris.
Node 60177. Node 6434330. Transceive. Node 60177. Node 6434330. Transceive.